Please turn again in the Bible to Joshua chapter 8. My subject today is simply entitled Victory at Ai. Look with me at Joshua 8 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee today. Once again, for the privilege of turning to thy precious word. We pray, Lord, that you would come and fill us afresh with the Spirit of God. We're so conscious that without thee we can do nothing. But, O God, we cast ourselves upon thee. We thank thee, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Pray, Lord, today that you'll bless your word to every heart, and especially to the saints of God, that you would help us in these days to walk with thee. O God, we thank thee for the privilege of walking with God. And we pray today, Lord, that you would draw us closer to thyself. And O God, that this day, as we leave God's house, we might say it was good to be here, for it was here where we met afresh with the Lord. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Last week we considered Israel being defeated at Ai. And we noticed that the reason why they were defeated was because of Achan's sin. In our message last Lord's Day, we looked at the solemn lessons taught from Israel's defeat at Ai for God's people today. And we considered four things. One, sin will hinder our walk with God. Two, sin will rob us of God's power. Three, sin will discourage the servant of God and stop the blessing falling upon others. And four, only when sin is dealt with will we go forward in victory again in our Christian lives. At the end of the message last Lord's Day, we saw how Achan's sin was dealt with, and we just emphasized briefly the blessing that came again into the camp of Israel because this sin was dealt with. Today I want to draw your attention to Joshua chapter 8. In this chapter, we see Israel's great victory over the city of Ai. But specifically, I want you to notice what happened when Joshua dealt with the sin of Achan. Four things happened in Joshua chapter 8 when Achan's sin was put away. Indeed, four things took place immediately after sin was removed from the camp of Israel. And I want to draw your attention to those things this afternoon. And I pray that the Lord will speak to each and every one of our hearts. I pray that the Lord will draw our attention to this chapter, and that the Lord will speak to each and every one of our souls this afternoon. First of all, I want you to notice that when sin was dealt with, Israel heard the voice of God again. Look with me at verse 1 of Joshua chapter 8, and you'll read these words. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Immediately Israel turned from their sin, the Lord spoke in mercy and promised them victory over Ai. And that's what we have here in verse 1. In other words, sweet communion with God was restored to Israel after they turned away from their sin. And look at what the Lord said. The Lord here deals with three matters which greatly concern Joshua and the children of Israel as the Lord spoke to them. You'll notice, first of all, as the Lord spoke to them here in verse 1, that he dealt with their fear. Because he says to Joshua and to the children of Israel, fear not. You see, the defeat at Ai on the first occasion would have caused Israel to fear. They would have feared another encounter with Ai. But here God deals with their fear by telling them to fear not. What a wonderful comfort this must have been to Joshua and the children of Israel. Then you'll notice also in verse 1, when the Lord spoke to them, that he dealt with their dismay. Because not only does he tell them here, fear not, but he also says to them, neither be thou dismayed. The word dismay here means to be cast down. It means to become broken. After Israel's defeat at Ai, Joshua and the children of Israel were cast down. They had become despondent. But now as the Lord speaks to them, he reassures them of his strength, and he reassures them of his power for the battle ahead. Again, what great comfort this must have been to Joshua and the children of Israel as they considered going up to fight Ai for the second time. But then also in verse 1, you'll notice that as the Lord spoke to them, he dealt not only with their fear, he dealt not only with their dismay, but he dealt with their apprehension concerning the future, because he gives them a wonderful promise here in this first verse of Joshua chapter 8. The promise of victory at Ai. Look what it says. Arise, the Lord says, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Here we have God promising Joshua victory over Ai. O child of God, what great lessons there are here for you and I. When we walk with God, when we turn away from willful sin in our Christian lives, we will have sweet communion with God. And God's word will come with freshness to our hearts. He will take away our fears, deal with our dismay, lift us when we are downcast, and his promises will come with power and great comfort to our hearts and to our minds. There's no doubt that the Lord here is blessing Joshua and the children of Israel again. And we can see the reason for that blessing. It is because they have dealt with sin in the camp. Achan's sin has been dealt with. And now, because sin has been dealt with, the Lord is coming again and speaking to his people. You know, there's a wonderful portion of scripture over in 1 John, and it's chapter 1. Verses 6 to 9, let me read them to you. The Apostle John here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O child of God, there is sweet communion with God as we turn from willful sin in our lives. And God will speak to us and bless us through his precious, precious word. In Galatians 5 verse 16 it says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Oh, I wonder, is there someone here today and over these past months you have been walking afar off and you're out of fellowship with the Lord because of sin. Oh, I pray today that you will confess your sin, that you will turn away from your sin. And if you do, the Lord will speak to your heart afresh again. There's no greater blessing than to hear the voice of God. There's no greater blessing than to hear that still small voice of God saying unto us, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." And there's no greater blessing than to have communion with the Lord day by day in our Christian life. Sin will break that fellowship. Only when we turn away from sin will we hear the voice of the Lord again as we commune with Him and as He communes with us. Now there's something else I want you to notice here. When sin was dealt with, Israel heeded the instruction of God again. I wonder, did you notice that as we read these first 7 verses of Joshua chapter 8? In verse 2, the Lord instructed Joshua and the children of Israel how to proceed in order to conquer Ai. Look at the latter part of verse 2. Indeed, the very last phrase of verse 2. Here's the instruction of God to Joshua and the children of Israel. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. And when you read the rest of this chapter, you find out that Joshua and the children of Israel heeded those instructions completely. Child of God, when we turn away from willful sin in our lives, when we are walking in communion with God, we will delight in obeying and heeding the word of God. It is only when we are holding on to sin in our lives that we will fight against heeding the instructions of God. But those who are walking with God are those who delight to do God's will. And of course, doing God's will is obeying God's precious word. The psalmist said in Psalm 40 verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law," or "thy word, is within my heart." And in Psalm 143 verse 10, the psalmist said, when thinking about his walk with God, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." The psalmist not only wanted the direction of God, but he wanted to heed the direction of God. You see, heeding and obeying God's word is a clear sign that a Christian is in close communion with God, and that they are seeking not only to turn away from sin in their lives, but to walk with God and to serve the Lord with all their hearts, souls, and minds. You see, after this sin was dealt with in chapter 7, not only did the Lord speak to Israel again, but Israel wanted to obey the Lord, and Israel wanted to walk in the paths of the Lord. And that's what we have here in this chapter. Israel heeding the instruction of God again. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, we read these words, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." Oh, I wonder, is there someone here today, and over these past months, perhaps even years, you haven't been heeding the word of God? You're backslidden, and you have been backslidden for a long time now, walking in disobedience to the Lord. Oh, my friend, let me encourage you today to turn afresh to the Lord and deal with sin and turn away from sin. Let me encourage you today to begin to walk with God again. Thank God if you do. If you turn away from sin and if you turn afresh to the Lord, not only will the Lord speak to you again, not only will the Lord direct you again, but you will delight to do the will of God again. And the Lord will take you up, and the Lord will use you in His service once again. But notice something else here. Turn back to Joshua chapter 8. When sin was dealt with, not only did Israel hear the voice of God again, and not only did Israel follow the instructions of God again, but you'll notice also that Israel received the blessing of God again. The blessing of God again towards Israel is summed up in that God delivered the city of Ai into the hand of Joshua and the children of Israel. Look with me there at verse 19 of Joshua chapter 8. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it, and hastened and set the city on fire. In verse 19, we see Israel defeating the city of Ai. God kept his promise. The Lord had promised Israel victory. And in verse 19, that victory comes to pass. Ai is defeated. We noticed last week, because there was sin in the camp of Israel, that not only were they defeated at Ai, the children of Israel, we read that in chapter 7, but we also found out that God's presence and God's power had been withdrawn from them. But now in Joshua chapter 8, we see clearly that because sin has been dealt with, God's presence and God's power is amongst them again. Indeed, God's blessing has again been poured out upon them, and they are now living again in victory. Oh, what a wonderful portion of scripture this is. What a contrast we have between Joshua chapter 7 and Joshua chapter 8. In chapter 7, we see Israel defeated. In chapter 7, we see Israel running from the enemy. In chapter 7, they know nothing of God's presence, they know nothing of God's power, they know nothing of God's victory. But now in chapter 8, the tables have turned. They have victory over the old enemy, the men of Ai. The presence of the Lord is with them. The power of God is amongst them. And the Lord has given to them victory. Why? Oh, child of God, we have often emphasized that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so it is. Well, here in this portion of scripture, let us apply it to our own hearts and in our own lives as far as our Christian experience is concerned. The truth is this, that if we play around with sin, then we will know nothing of God's presence and God's power in our lives. We will know nothing of victory. But if we turn away from knowing sin in our lives and seek to walk with God in holiness and seek to walk with God in righteousness, then He will bless us and He will use us and we will know victory in our Christian experience. Child of God, have you lost the victory in your Christian life? Now, only you can answer that question. Has sin robbed you of God's presence and God's power and God's blessing and God's victory? Then turn afresh to the Lord. Confess your sin to Him. And not only will the Lord forgive you for your sin, but He will restore unto you the years that the locust have eaten. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 25, we read about the Lord restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. And of course, that text of scripture was given to God's people. The word restore in that text, it means to make whole. When Israel turned from their sin in Joshua chapter 7, God made them whole. That is why He could use them again. Oh, child of God, the Lord will not use us again until we have been made whole, until we have turned from sin in our lives and seek Him again with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, we read these words, familiar words I'm sure to most of us, where the Lord says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." What a tremendous promise that is. But can we not apply it to our own hearts and lives, child of God, in this 21st century? I believe that we can. It's so important for us to seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He is near. Listen, sin will rob us of God's power and God's presence. We have already noted that in these studies. But let me emphasize it again. Sin will rob us of the victory in our Christian lives. And that's why day by day we need to turn afresh to the Lord and confess our sins to Him. We need the Lord to come and work on our hearts again. And I pray that in these days we would know a breath of revival, and that the Lord will come amongst His people, and that even this day, this Lord's day, that the Lord will so work on our hearts that we will turn afresh to Him. Oh, you can see in chapter 8 the contrast from that chapter 7. The Lord is speaking to His people, and God's people are now following the instructions of the Lord. And because they're obeying the Word of God, they're being blessed with God's presence and God's power. And now, instead of running from their enemies are running from them. And instead of defeat, there is victory. Oh, child of God, that's what we want in our Christian lives. We want victory. We don't want to be running from the enemy. We want the enemy to be running from us. And I pray that in these days we will know the power and unction of the Holy Ghost in our lives. The Bible says that we're not to be filled with wine, we're in His access, but we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if there's a day and age when God's people need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, then it is this day and age in which we live. I pray that you and I each day will pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For we need the power of God as we seek to live in this world of sin. The devil will do everything within his power to destroy our testimony and to weaken our testimony. I pray that we will continually look to the Lord because we need His strength. And of course, we're so familiar with that text of Scripture that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. O child of God, we need strength to live for the Lord. We can't serve the Lord in the energy of the flesh, and we can't serve the Lord in our own strength. We need God's power. And that's why it is so important to wait upon the Lord day by day. As Christians, we need to pray and seek the face of the Lord. Many of God's people today don't take the time to pray, and they don't take the time to read the Bible, and they don't take the time to be instructed of the Lord through His precious Word. But you can see here, and I believe that we have learned this throughout this study in the book of Joshua. Every step that Joshua took, every step that the children of Israel took, they were guided by the Lord. Only when they went before the Lord and refused to listen to Him was there disaster. But every time they walked with God and followed His instruction, there was always victory. And that's the secret of victory in our Christian lives, child of God. That's the secret of victory. If you want victory, wait on the Lord. Listen to His word and His instruction. And then when He gives it to you, follow it. And that's what's happening here in Joshua chapter 8. Now there's something else I want you to notice. Turn back to Joshua chapter 8 again. When sin was dealt with, notice fourthly, Israel honored the name of God again. Look what it says in verse 30. After the battle of Ai was won, it says, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel and Mount Ebal. When Israel dealt with the sin of Achan, they knew what it was to worship the Lord again. After the victory of Ai, Joshua built an altar unto the name of the God of heaven. And all Israel worshipped around the altar at Mount Ebal. You know, child of God, turning from sin and walking with God honors the Lord. Living in disobedience to God's will and God's word dishonors the Lord. No one honors the Lord more than the man, the woman, that seeks to walk with the Lord according to His truth. You know, there are many examples that I could turn you to. Men and women in the Bible walking with God and how the Lord blessed them. And there'd be no greater example than Abraham. Just turn over to Genesis chapter 12 for a moment. Let us remind ourselves again of Abraham, this man who walked with God. And of course, Abraham was the man of the altar. We read in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Here's the Lord speaking to Abraham, instructing Abraham. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now look at verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar, underline that, unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Look at chapter 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And look at verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. You can see there how Abraham is meeting with God around the altar. Child of God, we need to be those who are continually before the Lord, before the altar. The altar speaks of communion with God. The altar speaks of fellowship with the Lord. That's what Joshua and the children of Israel are doing at the end of chapter 8 of the book of Joshua. They're meeting with God around the altar, and they're exalting the name of the Lord as they do so. See, when we turn away from sin, not only do we hear the voice of God and follow the instructions of God and be blessed of God again with His presence and His power and victory in our lives, but we meet with God again around the altar. And child of God, the altar is so important in your life and in my life. The altar of personal worship, we cannot neglect it. The altar of public worship, we cannot neglect it. The altar of family worship, we cannot neglect it. Honoring God around the altar is a sure sign that we are seeking to honor the name of the Lord our God. And here we have Joshua and the children of Israel, and they're honoring the name of the Lord again. Listen, at the beginning of chapter 7, when they're defeated, there's no mention of honoring God. In fact, their lives are dishonoring God. The nation was dishonoring God. And that's why they were defeated. This nation of ours will never be blessed again until the leaders of this nation honor God again. But you know, child of God, in our individual lives, we will know nothing of fellowship with God and honoring the Lord if we neglect the place of the altar. That's why it is so important for the child of God to meet with the Lord day by day. Don't neglect your daily Bible reading. Don't neglect the scriptures of truth. Don't neglect the time of prayer. Don't neglect meeting with the Lord around the altar. Now you can see here what's happened now when sin is removed, when sin is dealt with. And the truth is, child of God, if you are backslidden and walking far off and refusing to let go of sin in your life, then you will continue in that state until you turn again to the Lord. You will know nothing of communion with God, and you will know nothing of God's blessing in your life spiritually. Oh, I pray that the Lord this day will use His Word to speak to our hearts. And I pray that this message will reveal unto us our need of walking with God and having communion with Him day by day. May God bless His Word to our hearts. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for the precious Word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for the lessons that we can learn from the book of Joshua. And oh God, we do pray in these days, in this 21st century, that You would help us, Lord, to walk in close fellowship with Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy Word. Oh God, speak to us. Speak to us through Thy Word. Day by day, commune with us. And help us, Lord, to turn away from sin. Lord, if we say we have no sin, the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sin, Thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh God, help us to walk in the light as Thou art in the light. Help us, Lord, day by day to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And help us, Lord, to honor Thee in all that we say and do. Oh God, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Joshua chapter 8. But Lord, help us not to forget Joshua chapter 7. For sin can creep into our lives so quickly. And we can lose out with God so suddenly. Oh God, help us to be sensitive to sin. And help us, Lord, to realize that we need Thee to deliver us from sin. Oh God, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee for what He accomplished on the middle tree in Golgotha's brow. We thank Thee, Lord, therefore there is cleansing from sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Lord, bless Your Word to the hearts of Your saints today. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.